Good morning. Please remain seated and join me in our hymn of preparation as printed in your bulletins. Good morning and welcome this morning to Main Street United Methodist Church. A very special welcome to each one of you, and especially to those that are visiting with us this morning. We hope that you will certainly feel welcome here, and we hope that you will visit us often. If you are a visitor and you're looking for a church home, we hope that you will consider Main Street, and if you would give us your address and phone number as we pass the attendance pads down the pew. That will allow us to have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of the church. So if you would now please pass those attendance pads, and members and visitors alike, please register your attendance. I know that there is a burning question in everyone's mind. What would Reverend Jim Dennis look like without a beard? If we can raise $5,000 for the mission trip, he says that he will shave that beard for one Sunday. So let's see if we can raise $5,000 for that mission trip. If you will just make your checks out and on there indicate that it is for the mission trip, and drop that in the offering plate as that comes by today. Our Wednesday night gathering series continues this Wednesday night. Please note that there is a time change for the program. The program will start this week, beginning this week at 6 o'clock rather than at 6:15. The meal is still at 5:15, but the program will start at 6 o'clock. This will be the conclusion of the comparison of the Gospels that Reverend Dennis has been leading, and Traveling Light, the book study, will continue. So if you plan to attend the meal, please make reservations by calling the church office or filling out one of the reservation cards in the pew rack. Also, this Friday night is children's movie night from 6 until 8 o'clock. The cost is $2.50 per child. That will be in the Asbury building. And there must be at least one parent per family will need to attend if you're having a child come to that. So that's this Friday night, 6 o'clock until 8 o'clock, children's movie night. I'm sorry, February 29th. Okay, so we're not going to be in the Asbury building, and we're not going to do it this week. Also, members of the Board of Stewards are reminded that we do have a meeting this afternoon at 5 o'clock. So if you are a member of the Board of Stewards, please make plans to attend this evening at 5 o'clock. Now let's prepare our hearts for worship.
The scene is a glimpse. The scene is a glimpse into the Council on Ministries meeting in 2008, 150 years after the organization of Greenwood Methodist Church, the original name for Main Street United Methodist Church. Present are Chairperson Debbie Kelly, Mud Pies Creative Learning Preschool Director Jamie Lyles, Youth Director Jessica Morris, Chair of Finance Committee John Redfern, and Dr. Steve Skinner, member of the Mission Outreach Committee. Let's eavesdrop on their reports of the highlights of some of the activities in the busy life of this remarkable church.
Since we have just opened our meeting with prayer, we'd like to begin our reports this afternoon with an update on the activities in the children's area. Jamie, could you please give us your report?
Thank you, Debbie. The big news with Mud Pies is that we are currently beginning our enrollment for the 2008-2009 school year. Last year, we had 12 children from the ages of 18 months to 3 years enrolled in our program. This past fall, 41 children ranging from the ages of 8 weeks to 3 years old enrolled, which means that our enrollment has more than tripled since last year. We are now continuing to take applications for the fall term. The program is not only growing with actual numbers, but also with the learning activities that we are offering. Unlike other preschool church programs, we offer kinder music with Joyce Nichols, and Spanish language activities with Betty Pinckney, and art with Donna Childress and Tina McDaniel. In the future, we plan to add a four-year-old program and more creative learning activities. We are also currently sponsoring the Parents Night Out program once a month. We have had a strong response with 25 children arriving at 5:30 to spend 3 hours playing games, reading stories, and, of course, eating pizza, while their parents have an evening to themselves. We at Mud Pies feel very blessed to be a part of this wonderful church.
Thank you, Jamie. That is really exciting news from the children's area. Now let's move up an age level to the youth. Jessica, what news do you have to report on the youth ministry today?
Well, Debbie, we too are an area that is growing. We have a striving bunch of youth. Our youth are a vital part of this church since they're involved in so many areas of this church. For example, our youth are a significant part of the new Out Loud Contemporary Worship Service, which takes place at 9 a.m. in the Asbury Outreach Center. Several of our youth are members of the praise band that leads the music for that service. And we even have a youth that is working as our Out Loud coordinator, and he plans and incorporates energetic worship every week. In a couple of weeks, our youth will be hosting and participating in Disciple Now. Disciple Now is a community-wide event which will include small group Bible studies, large group worship, and opportunities for mission around the community. In addition to participating in conference events, we enjoy the fellowship of retreats as well. Currently, we are gearing up for Big Stuff, which is really big stuff. It's a week-long conference located in Panama City Beach, Florida, and it provides energetic worship, great speakers, and the opportunity of a lifetime. And this year, we're taking 20 youth, as opposed to last year, we took about 15. And of course, our youth participate in Salcahatchie Summer Service, where we will attend the Bamber Camp. Last year, we took 21 youth and adults, and we worked on 8 different sites. And it's really a rewarding experience emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And this year, we'll be going July 19th through the 26th. And with all this going on and so much more, you can see, Debbie, that Main Street is certainly building disciples with its youth activities and programs.
Jessica, I am truly moved to hear all the wonderful things that are happening in our youth department. And your discussion of Salcahatchie, which is one of our mission activities, is the perfect opening for Dr. Skinner's report on mission activities. Although Mary Dula is the missions committee chairperson, Steve has graciously agreed to give us his report since he's just returned from a mission trip to Honduras. Steve?
Thank you, Debbie. Our church continues to be very active both in local and international missions. We recently participated in the Honduras Medical Mission for the 5th consecutive year. Our members contributed over $1,000 that went toward medical supplies for the mission trip. And we had 40 volunteers spend a Sunday afternoon packing and labeling over 100,000 pills that were taken on the mission trip as well. In Honduras, we conducted 7 clinics over 7 days and saw over 1,000 patients. More importantly, we shared the gospel of Christ with each patient that we saw and worked closely with many local, long-term Honduran missionaries. We are already planning our next international mission trip for this summer, this time in Belize. We have 5 members of our church that have already committed to attend this trip in June. To help support their efforts, we are planning a fundraising dinner and a silent auction for May 4th. We are still looking for donated items for the auction and hope that everyone will make plans to attend this dinner on May 4th. On the local scene, our food pantry continues to be open here at Main Street on Thursday afternoons. Our food distribution has more than doubled this past year from the previous year, so you can see we always need more food donations. We are also in busy planning for our local Salkehatchee camp, which will be hosted here at Main Street in July. This week-long camp will offer many opportunities for everyone in the congregation to volunteer and serve in some way. So you can see, Debbie, that our church continues to be very active in missions, and there are many opportunities for everyone to become involved.
Thank you, Steve. We at Main Street, especially those of us who would like to go on mission trips but we're not able to, we really appreciate your witness for Christ. Now that brings us to the financial support report from John Redfern. So, John, is it good news or bad news today?
Well, actually, Debbie, I guess you could say that my report is more good news than bad. First of all, at the close of 2007, we paid all of our bills in full, and that includes 100% of our conference apportionments. Next, we paid two balloon payments on our bank loan, which was used to renovate our old building and construct our new Asbury Outreach Center. That total was $547,500. And we raised over $100,000 for off-budget items like Epworth Children's Home and the Cambridge Preservation Fund and many, many more. The bad news is that we did not meet the budget that we set for ourselves, which would enable us to increase our program opportunities and our outreach opportunities. And we also have some additional funding needs for our beautiful sanctuary building. The good news is that we raised an unprecedented amount of money at Main Street. In 2007, we collected $1,354,670 in total. Now, if we wish to continue to do all that we want to do with our youth and our missions and our adult activities and our children's programs, we cannot rest on our laurels. But surely, the way we are progressing with the growth and the energy in this church, we should be able to have an even stronger financial report at the end of this momentous 150th year.
Thank you, John. That sounds good. You know, our recent activities with the Natural Church Development emphasis on revitalizing Main Street, both from inside the church as well as from the outside, we should have a big difference in our upcoming reports in the future from this church. As we learn ways to become more welcoming and incorporating, we should begin to experience the anticipated revitalization and enthusiasm within our church. You know, this year is proving to be an exciting one, not only because of our historic past, but because of all the many significant accomplishments that we have going on right now in the present. Now, on this note, do I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Please rise for the call to worship. God has called us not only to love one another, but also to support one another, holding each other up when we falter, stumble, or fall. So let us be one spirit this morning as we worship, so that in God's spirit we can bear each other in God's love.
Thank you.
be seated and join me in our invocation. Judge of the world, you are also the guardian of the world's children. So you sent your child into the world you love, not to condemn it, but to save it. Come among us this day, judging us and protecting us, convicting us and comforting us, that we might grow in faith and do your bidding. Amen. As we come to our time of prayer, I encourage you to continue to be in prayer for those in hospice, Ruth Miller, Louise Arnold, for those ill at home, Margaret Tinsley. We rejoice in Zella Williams for successful surgery. Kirk Husser's father had surgery this past week. We pray for the family of Reverend John Williams, who passed away this past week, and also extend Christian sympathy to Lori Bassett upon the death of her grandmother, Cindy Harris upon the death of her stepfather, and Al and Lib Gambrell upon the death of Lib's sister-in-law, Margie Dickert. We've been asked this morning to pray for Leighton Daniel, a longtime member who now resides in Columbia. I understand he is very, very low. And the family has asked that we be in prayer for him and also be in prayer for Harold McDonald in his continuing health concerns. With these and your own private concerns in mind, let us go together to God in prayer. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, whose love created us and sustains us day by day, we marvel at your great love for us, expressed in such a powerful way through the incarnation as divinity and humanity met in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ. As we view his remarkable life, how he reached out to persons others rejected, he touched the untouchable, gave himself as a ransom on our behalf, we are awestruck in the face of such overpowering and sacrificial love. And to know that such love has been given to us, despite our sin, despite our selfishness, is the greatest wonder of all. As you have loved us, Lord, so empower us to be instruments of your love to those around us. Help us demonstrate your love to those who aren't easy to love, just as while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Lord, we do pray for the nations of the world and for their leaders, that they be more open to the influence of your Spirit. We pray for those who grieve this day. We pray for those without the basics of life, for those who are ill in body and those who are ill in spirit. Father, we pray your guidance for those who have difficult decisions to make, and we lift up now in our hearts our private prayers before you. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite the children to come down carefully as we have this stage area here. Have a seat around for Dr. Steve Skinner, who will be delivering our children's message.
Y'all can come up on the stage if you want to. I had them leave the chair up here because I wasn't sure if I got down, I'd get back up. You can come in closer if you want to. Good morning, everyone. How are y'all this morning? Good. Wanted to talk to you a little bit about the lesson in our gospel lesson for the sermon this morning. Have any of y'all seen the wind? Can y'all describe the wind to me, what the wind looks like? It's clear. Okay. So really, though we see what the wind does, we don't see the wind, do we? I'm sure many of y'all have probably flown a kite or seen someone flying a kite. And it's the wind that keeps that fly, that kite up in the air. But we don't really see the wind, but we know it's up there keeping that kite flying. The same with a sailboat. Many of you may have gone sailing or seen a sailboat, and it's the wind that fills the sails and pushes that boat across the lake or the ocean. And many of you have certainly seen the effects of a wind after a strong storm, perhaps, and seen limbs blown down or sometimes a whole tree or things blown across the yard and wondering how they got there. Well, Jesus taught us that the Holy Spirit is kind of like the wind in some respects. The Holy Spirit is God's Spirit that fills our hearts once we accept Him as our Savior. But we never see that Spirit, but we see the effects of that Spirit. And Jesus said that it's much like the wind. We don't know where it might blow us or where it might take us either. So how might we know that someone has the Holy Spirit in them? What might you see in people that might let you know they have the Holy Spirit in them? It may be something as simple as a smile on their face when they don't really feel like smiling, but they know that person that they're with needs that smile. Or it might be something as simple as a hug when they know the person with them needs a little hug. But it could be something as far as moving someone to make them volunteer to teach in Sunday school when they really don't like to talk in front of people, but the Holy Spirit leads them in that direction. Or maybe even with some of our missionaries that have gone, that makes them go across the seas to Belize or Africa or some of the other places when they really don't want to do that. So the Holy Spirit is kind of like the wind. We don't know where it might take us. We know it's very powerful. We don't always see it, but it's there working if we open our hearts to it. Can y'all say a prayer with me? Dear God, thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Help us open our hearts to your Spirit. Help us to be obedient to your Spirit. And help others to see your Spirit in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us pass the peace.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4a. If you wish to follow in your pew Bibles, it's located on page 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to join in the reading of Psalm 121, found on page 844 in your hymnal. We will be using response number 2, which you will hear now.
In the shadow of your wings, I sing for joy.
lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence does my help come?
My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
The Lord will not let your foot be moved. The Lord who keeps you will not slumber.
Behold, the one who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord is your keeper.
The Lord is your shade on your right hand.
The sun shall not smite you by day,
nor the moon by night.
The Lord will keep you from all evil and will keep your life.
The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth.
Our epistle reading this morning is from the book of Romans, chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, continuing with verses 13 through 17. Again, if you wish to follow in your Bibles, pages 188 and 189. What then are we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to one who works, wages are not recognized as a gift, but as something due. But to one who works, but to one who without works trusts him and justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, for he is the father of all of us. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead, and calls into existence the things that do not exist. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Oh,
Before our offering, I just wanted to point out, some of you I'm sure have already seen, as of last week, we were only $169 short from actually meeting our budget for this year. $169. $169. If someone would like to put an extra check for $169 in this week, it would be wonderful. And as we heard the financial report as part of the drama during the play, I thought that the actor playing John Redfern was phenomenal, wasn't it? It was like he was actually here. But let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts. Creator God, the earth and all that is within it belongs to you. We thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these returns, these tithes unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen. gospel lesson this morning is the familiar third chapter of the Gospel of John, the first 17 verses. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can one be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I believe that someone has picked up the first page of my manuscript. And if I start on the second page, I'll wander around for 30 minutes looking for where I was supposed to be. Yes. Well, there's some scripture references here that I really had to have to make some sense. I want to start with a short story that I like. A woman was driving along a country road, and let's just say it was Hodges. That's pretty much country, isn't it? Some of you live that way. And she noticed an old man sitting on a fence rail watching the cars go by, and she stopped and asked for directions, and he gave them. And she remarked, "I don't think I could stand living out here like this. No, nothing to see, and you probably don't travel, do you? And I'm on the go all the time." And the old man looked down at the stranger, and he drawled, "I don't see much difference in what I'm doing and what you're doing. I sit on the fence and watch cars go by, and you sit in the car and watch fences go by. It's all in the way you look at things." You may have noticed that there are two ways to look at this particular scripture. Some of you sort of startled a little bit, I'm sure, when you saw in the NRSV where it said born from above, and your whole life you've heard it born again. Well, the explanation for that, and it bears explanation, is the Greek word anothen means both. And in Mark and Matthew, the word anothen is used to describe how the curtain in the temple, you know, the curtain that separated the Holy of the Holies from the common area, how it was in the Ark of the Covenant was hidden behind that, and how the curtain was torn anothen from top to bottom, from above to down below. That's the word at that place in Scripture. And elsewhere in John, it is translated most usually as from above. And also it describes the finely woven tunic that the soldiers at the cross took from Jesus. And they didn't want to tear it up because it had no seam. It was woven anothen from top to bottom without a seam. And so you see, Scripture does help us interpret Scripture. And though the common way that we read the Nicodemus encounter with Jesus is you must be born again, it is quite obvious that Nicodemus ridiculously misunderstood Jesus as if he were to crawl into his mother's womb and be born physically all over again. Jesus said, "No, no, you do not understand the spiritual things I'm trying to tell you. And you, a teacher of Israel." Though Nicodemus was hearing again, the obvious meaning Jesus was pushing and Nick was missing is from above, from the top, a spiritual rebirth, which comes not from anything physical, but from a spiritual connection with God, anothen, from top to bottom, from God above who gives every good gift, was what Jesus was saying, and Nicodemus was missing. Now, it doesn't really do much good to ask people, "Are you born again?" if they don't understand the context of the question. The real question is, are you connected with God? Starting life over with a spiritual connection with God, with a new and godly set of priorities, and an ability to love and forgive as God has loved and forgiven you. That is the question. And it is a new beginning, but it is not a new beginning that you do on your own. It is one that begins when you stop trying to live on your own and you say, "Okay, God, I accept your love. I accept you. I accept that I need forgiveness and that even my best actions are tainted with self and sin. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. Now, how should I live from now on? And by the way, Lord, you're going to have to give me the power to live differently because I am pretty much used to doing things my way." That's an honest encounter with God. Jesus meant, I believe, both meanings of the word at once. From above, a spiritual rebirth, and a second time, a starting over with God first. That is a spiritual rebirth. And that is seeing God clearly and seeing yourself as needy and seeing others as worthwhile as you are. Nicodemus was an important man. In all the important ways. He was a Pharisee. He was a religious leader. He was even a member of the Sanhedrin, the highest Jewish governing body in Israel. So he was probably wealthy. And wealth bought respect back then just as it does now. And he called Jesus rabbi, but he was probably called rabbi himself. And he had accomplished all that he wanted. But there must have been some insistent small voice in his soul saying, "Is this all there is?" And maybe you've heard it. You are here. I suspect you have. There is no emptiness like the emptiness that comes when you have all you have ever dreamt of and you still find yourself empty. I don't think death is the biggest fear we have. Our biggest fear is taking the risk to be fully alive. Fully, genuinely alive scares us. And Nicodemus knew that he was sleepwalking through his success and he wanted more. And Jesus seemed to have it. And so he snuck out by night to meet with him. Nicodemus had done all the rites of passage as a member of the Sanhedrin, the best of the best. And I'm sure that he was arguing as the interchange went forward, "Why should I have to start over?" On the one hand, he was curious enough to seek Jesus out at night. But on the other hand, he liked the answers he already had. He had memorized the right Bible verses. He had passed all the theology exams. But Nicodemus should have remembered that God's way of working in the Old Testament was very similar. In Genesis, Abraham and Sarah, already older, already set in their ways, at that point in their life, when they thought it was nothing but downhill and then gone, they started a family and left all that was familiar in the familiar land for parts unknown because God had intervened and touched their life and they started over. But if God is really God, and Nicodemus knew that God sometimes starts folks over just when they are self-satisfied and ready to sit down. If God is really God, I think it must be some sort of sin to ever sit down satisfied with your answers. When your relationship is with an infinite being, what arrogance to think that you've ever arrived. Jesus minced no words with the educated, powerful, respected, but curiously empty Nicodemus. He said, "You must start over from zero. You must be born again, and this time from above, from the top." I want to share a story from author Anne Lamott.
And it's a wonderful story from a writer and a Christian, but not always a Christian. But she tells us following story of how she resisted being born from above, of starting over, and how she hated the very idea of starting over with God at the center. For months, she had been sneaking into the back row of the pews of St. Andrew's Church. And I ask you to forgive the graphic nature of the story, but real life is sometimes like this. She writes, "I always left before the sermon. I loved singing even about Jesus, but I just didn't want to be preached at about him. To me, Jesus made about as much sense as Scientology or dowsing. But the church smelled wonderful, like the air had nourishment in it, warmth and faith and peace. But it was the singing that pulled me and split me wide open. Something inside me that was stiff and rotting would feel soft and tender. Somehow the singing wore down all the boundaries and distinctions that kept me so isolated. Sitting there, standing with them to sing, sometimes so shaky and sick that I felt like I might tip over, I felt bigger than myself. Like I was being taken care of or tricked into coming back to life. In the midst of this experience, Anne discovers that she is pregnant. And she writes, the father was someone I just met. He was married and no one I wanted to have a life or a baby with. So my friend Pammy one evening took me in for an abortion and I was sadder than I had ever been since my father died. And when she brought me home that night, I went upstairs to my apartment with a pint of whiskey and some codeine that the nurse had given me for pain. And I drank until nearly dawn. On the seventh night, very drunk and just about to take another pill, I discovered that I was bleeding heavily and it didn't stop for the next hour. I thought I should call a doctor or Pammy, but I was so disgusted that I had gotten so drunk so shortly after this abortion, I just couldn't wake someone else up and ask for help. So I got very sober very quickly. Several hours later, the blood flow stopped and I got in bed shaky and sad and too wild to have another drink or a pill. I had a cigarette and turned off the light. And after a while, as I lay there, I became aware of someone with me, hunkered down in the corner. And I just assumed it was my father's presence, which I had felt over the years when I was frightened or alone. The feeling was so strong that I actually turned on the light for a moment to make sure no one was there. Of course, there wasn't. But after a while, in the dark again, I knew beyond any doubt that it was Jesus. I felt him as surely as I feel my favorite dog lying nearby as I write this. And I was appalled. I thought about my life and my brilliant, hilarious, progressive friends, and I thought about what everyone would think of me if I became a Christian. And it seemed an utterly impossible thing that simply could not be allowed to happen. I turned to the wall and I said out loud, I would rather die. Perhaps that's what Nicodemus said. I would rather die than start all over. I've invested so much in becoming who I am, a well-respected teacher, a leader in my community. I cannot possibly leave that and start over. I would rather die. Richard Lisher, my old preaching professor, is as boring as any preaching professor you've ever met, but an honest man. In the Christian Century magazine, he wrote back in 1999 the following. He said, in a church I served, one of the pillars of the congregation stopped by my office just before services to tell me he'd been born again. I asked, you've been what? Yes, he said, last week I visited my brother-in-law's church, the Running River of Life Tabernacle, and I don't know what it was, but something happened and I'm born again. Lisher said, you can't be born again, you're a Lutheran. You are the chairman of the board of trustees. But he was brimming with joy, and I was sulking. Why? Because spiritual renewal is wonderful as long as it occurs within acceptable mainline channels and does not threaten my understanding of God. Being born is probably one of the most fearful things that ever happens to us. It's good that we don't remember it. We leave a warm, protected place of the womb. We're thrust into a place with loud noises and bright lights, and we don't have any control over being born physically. And so there is fear of the unknown and fear of letting go when the last straw you're holding on to is the only thing that keeps you afloat. And I think being born spiritually a second time and starting over is similar. I remember reading about John Wesley's honesty, about the emptiness in his life that prepared the way for him to be led by the Spirit as he attended a lecture on Romans and felt a strange warming of his heart. The same kind of honesty, I imagine, led Nicodemus that night where he never thought he would ever have to speak to anyone who would change his life as Jesus was attempting to change it. How can I find new life? How can it be that I would be born again? He could not fathom it. But Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And that's when Nicodemus started arguing and misunderstanding, maybe intentionally, that it could not happen to him, the fear. But think also of the emptiness that led him there to see what Jesus could offer. I remember being younger. I'm 50 now and fully in midlife. Unless I plan on living past 100, this is midlife. I remember when I was younger, I was confident that my reasoning powers would find all the answers I would ever need, and I was confident that in the resources I had to make sense out of life, confident that the dream I'd inherited from my generation, my country, my church, my culture, my planet, my schools could fulfill me, and I could achieve perfection and lasting peaceful life and satisfaction. Amen. But now, at 50, with my children up and out, marrying off the last one next month, and having seen 3.5 distinct generations come along and say, "No, no, 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 everything that came before us was wrong. The truth is this way." The world wears on us, and the dreams come and go. And we take another look and another look and another look at Jesus. And we push aside the philosophy du jour and the psychology of the moment and the utterings of the celebrities of the day on subjects they know nothing about. And we see that a firm foundation cannot be found on this earth. Maybe being born from above, changed by a relationship with God, is what we need. In the other Gospels, it is called repentance, which means a turning around, a going in a different direction, in a godly direction. In the Gospel of John, it is called being born again, or born from above, or from top down, from inside out, changed by your relationship with God. And I believe that God has and still can change people radically from the inside out. I believe it because I have seen it. And because I've had more than one of those moments where God is so real and I was so small and all that I clung to was so thin and empty that choice was no longer the question. God is more real than anything here you can build a life on. Not intellectually apprehended, not even comprehensible in a quantifiable way, but nonetheless real is the experience of the power and truth of God, overshadowing all the lies we build our house of cards upon. And that is God's Spirit saying, "You need to start over from the top down, inside out again, and grow from here." And sometimes I do believe start over again and again. I look back over my life and other people's lives I've become intertwined with, and I see experiences where God was at work, where the Spirit blew in unpredictable ways, and I and others were reset, starting over again and again. You see, the Spirit isn't going to let you stay where you are. Someday you'll have some experience, if you've not already. Something will happen and your world will change. Someday maybe your world will fall apart. Mine has, a time or two. And then what you believe now will not be adequate to put your life back together again. And you'll turn to God. In these days of Lent, may God's Spirit blow over and around and through and stir us and challenge us and comfort us and birth us from above again. New life is what Jesus is all about. That's why we come. And we are here to receive this offer of new life, to encourage one another in pursuing new life, because God has given us deep in our hearts the gift of a holy dissatisfaction with the way things are and ourselves as we are. New life is what we want. New life is what we need. And new life is what we fear. Fear. Let's give up fear for Lent. Born anew. Made over, top to bottom, inside out. We must give way to God's Spirit within. And when God's Spirit is working in our lives, there are some signs. And you know that God's Spirit is growing within you when you see hate become an obscene thing in your thoughts. Love come more naturally, and forgiveness becomes actually possible, and money stops meaning so much. And you quit figuring angles and ways to use people and judge people and notice that they are people just like you and love them instead. Prayer becomes a day-long conversation, and joy and hope fill you sometimes to the glistening point. May God enable us to start over, top to bottom, from above, anew, awake, real, and fearless to follow our God. Amen. Wonderful, high, and holy moment when we receive new members. They come by reaffirmation of faith today, Jim and Janice Ford. And if you turn to page 46 in your hymnal, just to follow along silently, there's no response for you to do. They will be reaffirming their faith through the questions found on page 46. And Jim and Janice, do you, in the presence of God and this congregation, renew the solemn vow and promise made at your baptism? Do you truly and earnestly repent of your sins?
We do.
Do you believe in God the Father?
We believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
We believe in the Holy Spirit.
Do you receive and profess the Christian faith as contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament?
We
do. Do you promise, according to the grace given you, to keep God's holy will and commandments and walk in the same all the days of your life as faithful members of Christ's holy church? I welcome you today as members of Main Street United Methodist Church, and I'll ask you to stand with me and greet your new family in Christ. Receive now this blessing. Be blessed by the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness which is yours through Jesus Christ, your Lord, your Savior. And may the power and the guidance of the Holy Spirit be with you to grow from faith to deeper faith. You have been blessed. Be a blessing to others.